Hello, my friends. This is Paul Drockton, and this is True Religion Radio, where we get to the crux of it. We get to the roots of truth so that you can better understand the scriptures, better understand God, better understand Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, and the things that really, really matter in this world. So today, we're going to talk about John Calvin. John Calvin is an amazing guy, and honestly, without him, you and I wouldn't be living in the United States right now. There would be no Constitution. There would be no Bill of Rights. There would be no really anything other than monarchies if it wasn't for John Calvin. So John Calvin obviously was one of the, we'll call reformers, right? And after Martin Luther, and he also embraced the doctrine of grace that Martin Luther taught, meaning that by grace we are saved after all that we can do. But one other concept, actually, I'm going to give you another concept that he basically just not only believed in, but he put together a practical plan to obey it. And that is all men are created equal. Think about that. Now imagine living during the Middle Ages and imagine telling a king that all men are created equal, which means all Christians have a responsibility to treat all people equally. So be good to everyone. That's what that means. That means that every single person on the face of this earth is a child of God. And every person on the face of this earth, regardless of what they are, regardless of skin color, right? They're his children. And Calvin understood that the only way that all men could be treated equal is if the law was just. And he advocated for just laws. Now, Calvin was from France. He was forced, of course, to leave because of his positions and because of his, let's just say, his stance on the Reformation. And he ended up going to Switzerland. And while he was in Switzerland, the first time, he hated it, by the way, he discovered that there were individuals there that were using the liberty proclaimed by Martin Luther, right, the concept of we are saved by grace, to commit every depravity, every atrocity, every sexual crime that they could possibly think of. In other words, they argued, and these were the libertines, my friends, if you ever heard that word, that's where it came from. This was in Geneva. And they argued that because we're saved by grace, it doesn't matter what we do. Right? We're not saved by works, so we can do whatever we want. Now, I have seen other movements, modern movements, that teach the same satanic doctrine, that tell people, look, God's going to save you anyway, so you can do whatever you want, and you're going to get the same reward as everyone else. My friends, that is the great lie. So Calvin preached against the libertines, and they eventually forced him out of the city. Now, what happened is eventually the people of Geneva realized that they'd chosen the wrong side, and they brought Calvin back, and Calvin prevailed over the libertines, got rid of them. But the one thing he also did successfully is he converted Geneva into basically a republic city-state, meaning that they operated as a republic with the belief that all men are not only created equal, but all men are basically supposed to have equal protection under the law. These are all concepts that are enshrined in our Constitution. So what does that mean, equal protection under the law? Well, it simply means that you and I, we should enjoy the same protection as a man who has money or a person who has power by the law, right? And that we should also expect that individuals of that are in high office or that have power and money should have to obey the same laws we do. So his concept was equality under the law, again, enshrined in our Constitution, right? Now, let's pursue this just a little bit further. Think about that. As an aristocrat or as a monarch, right, one of the things that you have been taught and one of the things that you teach and preach is that you're above the law. Monarchs believe they don't have to obey the same laws as anybody else because they believe that God has put them there and they're accountable only to him. Now, I would ask you, how many dictatorships, how many monarchs have committed the worst atrocities in history. And I'm talking about butchering millions and millions and millions of people simply because they disagreed. Let's go back to Rome. Look at Emperor Nero, right? Who didn't believe in the rule of law. Believed that he was the law and whatever he did was right. Look at how he treated the Christians. Look at how he abused them. Look at how he basically burned down Rome and then blamed it on the Christians and then had them persecuted and executed. The only reason he was able to do that is because he had the power and the authority. Now, Calvin also taught that authority goes with the office, not with the person. And if the person isn't worthy of that authority, then he has to be replaced with someone that is. This is such a beautiful concept. It not only applies to our society, but it also applies to any other organization. That includes your church. So if you are in a congregation, right, where you have a minister, a bishop, a teacher, a preacher, or anyone else that disobeys, right, the laws of the land, then you have the right to get rid of that person because it isn't the position that sanctifies the individual. It's the individual that sanctifies the position. And churches are to be operated under the same principle of the rule of law as anything else, which means that if you're a bishop, you have no more right, no more privilege than anyone else in your congregation. The poorest person in your congregation should enjoy the same rights and privileges you do in your congregation. There's been so much evil that's come from dictatorships within the churches. So much. People losing their lives, losing their fortunes, right? Losing their honor unjustly, right? Well, the congregations need to understand that whatever power these individuals hold comes from them. It comes from the congregation itself. It comes from the people. This is the power of republic. It's representative government. They're supposed to represent you, regardless of whether it's in the church or whether it is in the state. Same thing. You have to obey the same rules. Now understand that these principles, John Calvin did his best to make sure that they were enshrined in Geneva. He was successful at it to a very, very large degree. We're going to talk more about these beliefs, these concepts, these laws, really. But let me take you to the next step. Now, if you read the Bible in Isaiah, Isaiah prophesies that they will come when the wolf or lamb, the lion will lie down with the lamb, and that a little child shall play upon the hole of the cockatrice, right? And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Now, the Savior basically is going to come and he is going to establish his kingdom on this earth, and he is going to rule over that kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. And during that 1,000 years, the rule of law is what's going to turn this world into a paradise. All men will be treated equal by the Savior. There won't be any poor, but there won't be any wealth either. Everyone, every single person will be working for the benefit of everyone else. And I'm not talking about communism. Communism is basically forced obedience for the benefit of a small group of people in the name of charity. The reality is, as we know, very little charity ends up in the hands of the people that need it. As a matter of fact, they're worse off. What I'm talking about is Jesus Christ and his government, which is perfect. And it is going to bless this world, and it's going to restore this world, and it's going to heal this world. And trust me, that new world is right around the corner. And I want you to be a part of it. And so understand that, as Jesus Christ said, before he comes, that this earth is going to be in commotion. His judgment is going to be poured out on the wicked. He promises that the wheat will be gathered into the garner, right, inside the barn, and that the tares will be left in the field to be burned. That's his promise. And I promise you that we are literally at the door of the judgments, and for the righteous, we're at the door of deliverance. So please, think about these things. Ponder these things. Ask yourself, what can I do better? What do I need to change in my life? What do I need to do to improve? This is Paul Drockton. God bless. Have a great day.